Well, brothers and sisters, happy Divine Mercy Sunday. If you don't know what that is, that's the feast that the Catholic Church celebrates every year on the second Sunday of Easter at the request of Christ himself and his apparitions to St. Faustina Kowalska, right? And some of you are celebrating harder than others. Ari has red and blue on for the image, right, Ari? Yeah. You know, it reminds me of when I was in Missoula on like Pentecost or on like Laetare or Gaudete Sunday when I was wearing pink. All the old ladies would show up wearing pink or red to match me. So, good job, Ari. I just had to say that about her. That's hilarious, right? So, that's where the image comes from, right? St. Faustina Kowalska. And this is where we contemplate and receive God's mercy. And it follows Easter well, because his passion, death, and resurrection were the supreme acts of mercy for the sake of fallen humanity. But we have to be open enough to receive that mercy. All right, just a couple of cool facts for you about St. Faustina and the image of divine mercy. First, Faustina's birth name before she entered the convent is Helena, right? So one of the Sisters of Life at the Eucharistic Congress told us that. So I'm 100% sure that she holds this diocese and all who are in it, that's all of you, close to her heart. Second, with the image, the original painting, which Jesus appeared to Faustina, and then he told her to have it painted and then to be hung in churches throughout the world. The original painting, the face that was painted, matches the face on the Shroud of Turin with like a 99-point-something% match. And the Shroud of Turin, if you don't know, is the burial cloth of Christ, or it's thought to be. Right? But artists, it's impossible for even the best artist to make that kind of match, right? Like the best someone's ever done is like 95%, right? So we have this miraculous image. It's beautiful. And that's what we're celebrating today, brothers and sisters. When I was in the seminary, we studied with several men from Myanmar. You guys ever heard of the country of Myanmar? Formerly Burma, right? Like a Burmese python, that's where they come from. The jungles in Southeast Asia, right? And I lived with one of these guys in my final year when I was a deacon. His name was Stephen Natong. And I have this clear and profound memory of he and I this one random day when we were doing dishes after lunch for the whole seminary, right? It was our turn to do dishes, and I'm so glad I'm out of seminary because I hated doing dishes. But Stephen and I were like, okay, we're gonna do the nastiest work here. Like we're gonna get the three big sinks where you put like soap and water and then you rinse, and then there's some chemical, probably really bad for you, that sanitizes everything at the end, and then you dry them off, right? And we were washing everything that was cooked in, so like these huge pots and pans that they use there. And I'm sitting there and I'm scrubbing something disgusting. I think, if I remember right, the pan that I'm thinking of was like, it was eggs from breakfast that some younger guy decided not to clean and left it to me, right? So it was really gross. It's baked on there, and I'm like scraping this off, and just thinking of that makes me sick, right? But then Stephen's next to me, and he stops scrubbing, and he looks up at me, and he goes, "Tyler, do you give everything that you do to God?" And I just sort of stopped, because I was kind of taken aback by like the depth of this simple question. Do you give everything that you do to God? And I looked at him and I gave him an honest answer, right? I was like, no, but I should. And that was the truth, because I don't give everything to God. And in that particular moment, I knew he meant even scrubbing dishes. So, and for me, that's like coming from a blue-collar family. My mentality with work is often like, you get it done quick and you do it well, right? And then Stephen, this is funny, but it's also profound. He just looks back at his dishes and simply says, I do, right? And he wasn't rubbing it in my face, right? He just said, I do. And I had to spend a lot of time thinking about that particular moment, because Stephen is a man who has suffered immensely in his life, right? He worked in a coal mine as a child in Myanmar, and he got malaria. And there were times in the seminary where that infection would fly, like it would flare up, right? He had it. I don't know the medical term. All nurses, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? But stuff would come up because of that disease, and he'd be out for days, be in his room, locked in his room, incapacitated for days, right? And he endured so much death and loss in his family as he grew up. I think he lost his parents and some of his siblings. He was my age. And he was talented enough academically to come to the United States to study, but he also knew that he was going back to a volatile country to be a priest. When I was in seminary, Burma, there was riots and everything there, and China is always pressuring and keeping those people in poverty. So he suffered. He suffered. And with all of this, the most profound thing about him was his complete dependence on God. I give everything I do to God. His humility was something that was formed by his suffering. He learned obedience, like Christ, by what he suffered. And that's so rare to find in the world today. And I tell you that because with it being Divine Mercy Sunday, I want to pose that same question to you in the context of mercy. Do you give everything that you do to God? Do you give everything that you do to God? And I mean everything. I mean your sins. Do you give your sins to God? Because brothers and sisters, I see so many people who are incredulous to believe that God is actually merciful. And so they let their past torture them. And I see so many people who are incredulous to believe that God loves them. And so they latch on to sin as if it were somehow going to fulfill them the next time. And the next time. And the next time, and it never, ever does, ever. And often the response to our lack of faith in God's mercy, I think, goes in one of two directions. We either dream up some false path to perfection, and we think to ourselves, if I do this, then God will love me. Or if I'm perfect, then God will love me. Then we repress our humanity and attempt to save ourselves. And we go around and around and around, incapable of achieving the salvation that we desire by our own means. That shouldn't be a surprise. Or we attempt to ignore that our sins are actually damaging us. So we make up or adhere to false moral codes that lead us deeper and deeper into sin. And in that, we become less human. And once again, we've dreamed up something to justify our disordered desires, and that just doesn't work. It never works. Brothers and sisters, there is only one answer and one path to mercy. Only one. And that answer is the person of Jesus Christ. It is in him and by his passion, death, and resurrection that mercy was made possible for each of us. And that's what the image of divine mercy is. The pouring out of mercy onto the world from the heart of God himself. And he does this through the sacraments, which flow from his own heart. And that is the Holy Eucharist. Mercy doesn't reside in fear, in holding back our pain because we don't want God to see it. Mercy doesn't reside in our own ambition to be holy. It's not a thing. You'll never get there if that's your gig. And mercy doesn't reside in intentional ignorance of the wrong things that we've done. Mercy resides in Christ and in Christ alone. And from his side, he offers it freely to each of us. I think the question then is, are we willing to actually receive it? Are we willing to lay down our pride or our fear or our sins in order to be made whole again? Are we willing to become, and finally become dependent on the God who created us and who died so that we might have mercy? So, my friends, Christ opens his heart entirely to each of us today, right now, at this Mass. And he invites us, along with our sins, right where we're at, with everything that this is right now, he invites that, just as he invited Thomas, into his sacred heart. Because that is the very place where mercy resides. And that's the very place where Christ says to Faustina, all the sins of the world are but a drop in my ocean of mercy. So let's go to that place, just as we are, and receive the loving mercy that will make us whole again and will make us who we're called to be.